Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. Again, what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to be reading verse 16 down to verse 25 this morning. You will go ahead and stand with me if you're able to do so, as we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning here in verse 16, the Bible says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remissions of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again. And again, Lord God, thank you for the privilege, opportunities you made available to us to be in church today. And for all that have taken advantage of that opportunity and that are here not only physically but also via the live stream. And Lord, I pray that each one would be receptive to the word that you have for them. I ask God that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse 16, at the beginning of our text here this morning, the Bible says, and this is what God was saying, through Jesus Christ, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts." Now, of course, the new covenant, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, "I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." As we look back on history, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came. He was God. It was manifested in the flesh. He ushered in a new covenant. The Bible very clearly reveals to us that, and Jesus taught that he came not to do away with the old covenant or the law, but he came to fulfill it. And he was ushering in this new covenant. This new covenant also is given to us as a New Testament. This New Testament is so much better, and throughout the book of Hebrews, you'll find that Paul, writing to the church and to the believers concerning the new covenant being so much better, the position of the priesthood being so much better, the promises being so much better. And so this New Testament is so much better than the first, and it was designed for the end of times. Understand that. The Old Testament was designed for the time period leading up to the fullness of time when Christ would come. It was designed. That's what humanity would need to understand who God is, God's plans for humanity, past, present, and future. But when Jesus would usher in this new covenant, this New Testament, it wasn't something new to God. It always was planned. And God designed this New Testament for the end of time. Time, we think about time, and it's something that we're all aware of all the time. Everything we do is based on time. Time was designed by God for humanity. Before the creation of man, there was no time. God designed heaven and the atmosphere and earth to present time, 24-hour days, 7-day weeks. Time was designed by God for humanity, and it will come to an end. It will come to an end. At the end of time, there will be no more time. And that's going to be an amazing time of life. Yeah. At the end of time, there is no more time. The promises associated with the new covenant that was designed for the end of time would be so much better than anything that the Old Testament saints could imagine. Many of them understood and they looked forward to this New Testament. In the book of Hebrews, it tells us a lot about it, but I'm just going to highlight a few verses back leading up to our text here, because you need to understand what led up to our text. In chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But now hath he," Christ, Jesus Christ, "obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant." There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Amen. One mediator. Now he, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. That means he was present in creation. He was present in the Old Testament. But now he has ushered in a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Look over to chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ," and that's the key, was the blood of Christ, that's what it took to usher in and to allow us a closeness with the Father, to be able to come into His presence in the holies of holies, which was Old Testament tabernacle, but now it's part of our everyday lives. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot, sinless, perfect, to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. This understanding of this promise of eternal security, an eternal inheritance. Chapter 10, verse 9, and chapter 10 is our text, leading up in the very same chapter as our text. In chapter 10 and verse 9, it says this: Then said he, Jesus, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He, God, take away the first, that he may establish the second. Take away the first covenant, that he might establish the second covenant, the New Testament. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. No more sacrifices to be made. God's not looking for sacrifices. Verse 14, for by one offering, he, Jesus, hath perfected forever them, those who received him as their personal Lord and Savior, perfected forever, eternity, them that are sanctified. When you're saved, you are sanctified, set apart for God. You've been adopted into his family now. Wow. One of the key elements of this New Testament, this new covenant that we find here, that we read in our text, one of the key elements of this New Testament would be the church's assembly, which is the last verse in our text that we read here. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now that's what I want to preach to you about. That's what I want you to have an understanding of before you leave here this morning. Understand, yeah, we're in the new covenant. There's no doubt about that. It's a New Testament. We're no longer under the law, but the law served a purpose. And it's still something that we read and study, and there are principles that we learn from that, principles of everything that God had given to us in the Old Testament. But Jesus ushered in a better plan, a plan that was designed for this 21st century. A plan that was designed for the end of times. It is relevant today. It is needed today. Satan would love to blind humanity to the need of the New Testament, the new covenant that Almighty Creator God had designed for us in the last days. So much the more as you see the day approaching. What is the day? As we read this, we understand that in this New Testament, in this new covenant, there is something that is throughout the New Testament scriptures that's called the day of the Lord. The day of Christ. Over in the book of Philippians, and you just write it down and you don't have to turn there with me unless you just want to, but in the book of Philippians in chapter 1, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, to believers, when you get saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, God has a work that he's given to you this inward, this indwelling, and he's put it in your heart. You have it in your heart. You have it in your mind because he dwells within you. His spirit bears witness with your spirit. The mind is that battleground for all spiritual activity. What's going on inside of your mind, if you yield to the Spirit of God, he will help you to have right thinking. Designed that way for the end of times, we need to have right thinking. And we need to have it inside of us. We need to be able to have right thinking from within. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians, I want you to look there because it reveals what the day of Christ is. In 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, there was a day that Jesus came that was fulfillment of prophecy. We're coming up on December the 25th, which is a day that as a Christian nation we have on our Christian calendar, as a day that we celebrate and we acknowledge that Christ came. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, that's history. We know that. It's 2,000 years ago. It's on the Christian calendar. It's something that we acknowledge. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He laid his life down, crucified, resurrected the third day. That's on our Christian calendar, the resurrection. We call it Easter, but it's a resurrection, a day when Christ resurrected from the grave, the first day of the week, which established the first day of the week for the New Testament, the New Covenant, as the Lord's Day, a day that we are to assemble ourselves together to worship him as his church that he established while he was here. Before he left, he said, I will come again, which is the beginning of the day of Christ. The day of Christ is the rapture. It begins with the rapture of the church and will continue with the events leading up to the end of time. After the rapture, it's no longer timing, it is events. Events that God has given us time for, but it's events that will follow one after the other that will lead up to the end of time, which will enable us to enjoy a timeless existence. A timeless existence. That sounds good to me. I don't know about you, but no more aging. Yeah. A timeless existence, something designed by God. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 13, this is the day of the Lord. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died before us, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You're going to have sorrow, but you don't have to sorrow as if they're gone forever. We'll never see them again. There's nothing else beyond the grave. Praise the Lord. We have a promise of much more beyond the grave. We have a promise in this New Testament to understand that because of Christ, our loved ones are not in a grave. They're not in a holding cell. They're not in a place of fictitious purgatory. If they're saved, they're in the presence of God, already enjoying a timeless life. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, that's important. Everything goes through Christ, the blood that we've already read about. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that also which sleep in Jesus, died in Christ, saved, will God bring with him from where God's at, and that's heaven. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord The beginning of the Lord's day is the coming of the Lord for the rapture of the church. He doesn't come back to earth as of yet. Shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's called the rapture. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a comforting thought. But of the times, chapter 5 now, forget about the chapters, just read the words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, this day that we're talking about here, the day that we were looking for and we will are to see, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So we find that this day, what is the day? Because so much the more as you see the day approaching, there is something that we need to be aware of that God says, I want you to look for. I want you to be able to see. It begins with the rapture and will continue with the events, as I said. As the church is raptured on the earth, there will be a 7-year tribulation period. God's revealed that to us in the book of Revelation. Helps us to understand things as well as the teachings of Christ. After the 7-year tribulation, Christ will return and he will set up a kingdom rule, a millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. After that 1,000 years, there's still time there, but it's 1,000 years. But after that event is over, the millennial reign of Christ, there is a great white throne judgment. After the great white throne judgment, for all are judged, all that failed to receive Jesus Christ are judged, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what we understand is coming. That's the day. Now, the day begins with Jesus rapturing his church. And it continues through to the end of time, which is what will usher in a new heaven, a new earth without any time. What will we see? As we read here in our text here in Hebrews in chapter 10, again, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We have to understand what is the day. The day is the rapture of the church. What will we see? The Bible says, and so much the more. And that's going to be the key. That's what I'm going to hopefully help you to be blessed with. But we need to understand these other things before then. So we have to understand the day, what the Bible says, what is the day. The day is the day of Christ. It begins with the rapture of the church. And we will see things leading up to the rapture of the church. As we see them, as the day approaches. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He says, all right, we're talking about the day. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled. I love that. He said, when you're thinking about the day, it should not be something that troubles you. It should not be something that you're afraid of. It should not be something that shakes you. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Even 2,000 years ago, during the apostolic age, when the words of God were being written down and preserved to have the full revelation, we find that the people, there was false teachings concerning that the rapture had already taken place. I remember back at a church I was attending when I was in the college and career before my wife and I met. And Sunday night was there and having service, and one of the college kids come in at the invitation, and he just flew down and was crying like a baby at the altar. I was kind of confused with all that. He wasn't in church service, didn't hear anything preached. He just come in at the end of service. And his name was Mike. And I said, Mike, afterwards, I said, what's going on? And he says, I fell asleep and I woke up and no one was around anywhere. I thought the rapture had taken place and I was left behind. He said, I was so glad when I got to the church to see the cars and lights and people in the church building. He said, I just ran to the altar. And I wanted to make sure that I was saved because I did not want to be left behind. You ought to make sure that you are not left behind. You need to make sure that you have what God says you need to have in order to go up in the rapture. And that's Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Yeah. And so they even thought then that there was a chance that they had been left behind, the rapture had taken place. And he says this in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So, what are we to watch for? We understand the day is coming. The day is approaching, but there's things that the Bible says you will be able to see as the day approaches. The first thing to watch for is happening all around the world. A falling away. Man is more accountable today than ever before. Do you know that? Especially if you have been raised in the United States of America. This is a Christian nation. We don't have to deal with a lot of the things that the rest of the world has to deal with as far as church. When I was in Russia, they took us on a tour of the underground church that was not allowed to meet. They wasn't allowed to have a Bible. They wasn't allowed to have any assembly. And the people, seeing the need for that, and they would hide out and they would risk their lives and their families to be able to assemble together. They had tunnels. They showed us one. We went out to it, and it was a well. And they would actually go down about 20 feet in the well. And then they had a chute coming off of it. And it was built. And then they went back underneath the house. And that was a place that the church was able to meet so that they would not be detected and be arrested in prison by the Russian soldiers. I was there. I went through that. Went into one of those. It was just a unique feeling to think that the people understood the importance of the church and the assembly, even in Russia. And they were going to assemble. A falling away. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 24. Let me just read this to you. Are you following me this morning? This is good stuff. This is things that we find is taught throughout the scriptures. But in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives an insight into what to look forward and all the things that's going to be taking place. But he says this in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's important there. Before the end comes, before the day of the Lord, the gospel will have been presented to every nation around the world. Couldn't have happened until recently. We think of all the technology and all the things, but it's being preached around the world today. One of the things that had to take place before the end, the beginning of the end, which is the day of the Lord, the rapture. And it has been. I've been on many mission fields. Was in Bolivia. I've been in Mexico and Guadalajara for a couple of weeks. I've been in Philippines. I've been in Russia. I've been different places. And in every one of these places, I've had the opportunity to preach. I've had the opportunity to win souls to Christ. And it's been taking place now, and it's all around the world. But at some point, there's going to come a massive falling away from the teachings of Christ. People who have heard and maybe even have said they believed will turn away from Christ, will turn away from the scriptures. There will be a falling away, apostasy, a falling away from the things of God. In 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, there's going to be a falling away first. That day shall come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God. Humanism, philosophies of man, replacing the teachings and the truths of God. There's going to be an exaltation of an antichrist. There's going to be a promotion of an antichrist, which we see today, which doesn't take much at all, because the word of God has been preached around the world. And can I tell you that there have been worldwide revivals. As we look over even our lifetime, I mean, think about how the church has grown and how the blessings of the church and in the United States of America at one point. But not today. Today, we are seeing more and more apostasy. Today, we are seeing more and more, not a falling away of religion, but a falling away of the teachings of Christ. 2 Timothy, we find that the Bible is very clear about that as well. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, This also know, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. There's more selfish lives being lived today than possibly ever before. They'll be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. So, there's going to be a falling away. There's going to be a promotion of Antichrist. That's what the Bible says we're going to see. When we begin to see, what are we to do? Now that's introduction. That is something that we all acknowledge. I mean, come, if you have any insight at all, if you look, if you know what the Bible says and you look in the world that we live in, it's there, it's here. We see the day approaching. Things have taken place as exactly the way that the Bible reveals it will take place. And we're there in the end of time. What are we to do? We're supposed to stay at home and fear, not get out and do anything. Supposed to just get in a fetal position, lay in the bed. That's not what the Bible... Understanding all the different things is going to be taken. There's going to be wars and rumors of war. There's going to be natural disasters. I don't think that it's going to be global warming. I think it's the judgment of God. But in the natural disasters and all the different things taking place, if you want to see God, you can see God. If you want to see the scriptures being revealed, if you want to see prophecy unfolding before your very eyes, it is right here. So what are we to do? And so much the more. It's what Christ taught that Christianity should do, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The first thing, in verse 19, he says this. Go back to our text now, and be quick. It's going to be quick, so follow with me here. Don't lose sight of the main gist of the message, because this is something that we need to be doing today, whether it be COVID or whether we see all the signs of the end of days, the day of the Lord. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You have that. That's one of the promises of God. That's what every believer has. We have an opportunity to come into the very holy of holies by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, that high priest is Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The first thing, drawing near to God through communication. What we need to be doing as we face all of the different things in the end of times and we see everything taking place and we know that it's very close, get closer to God. We have been given the promise and we have been given the wherewithal. We have been given the way that we can come and we can communicate with God. It's like being in the holies of holies, in the very presence of God. When you come into this place, I trust that you can sense that there's something different inside the church house than there is in the world. There's something different when you experience the presence of God and the music comes alive and ministers to your spirit and ministers to your soul. And when you hear the word of God preached, there's something about the word of God being proclaimed that helps me to understand the truths that I need to understand to be able to deal with the day and age that I'm living in. Get closer to God. Now you have the opportunity. You can read your Bible and you can pray. And as you read your Bible, God speaks to us. When you pray, you speak to God. That's something that we teach our young people from the earliest of ages. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And With everything that we're dealing with today, how often do we read our Bibles? How often are we in prayer and communication with God? And yet that's exactly what the Bible is teaching us that we need to do as we see the day approaching and as we see the signs of the end of the days, so much the more. Something you can do. Something you ought to do. Pray. Read your Bible. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't waver in your faith. How long have you been taught that truth? How long have you believed that truth? And now you're believing somebody else and you're listening to somebody else that tells you that it's not right, it's wrong. Don't waver in your faith. Understand your faith is based on the Word of God. If it's not, make sure it is based on the Word of God. That will never change. And don't waver from your faith. So many today are wavering from their faith and what they believe because of what they're hearing or what they're being taught, whatever it might be. Hold on to the promises of God. Don't waver in that. It's your faith. It takes faith to get through the trials of life. It takes acceptance and belief in the promises to make it through the valleys of the shadow of death, whatever that might be, whatever we might have to deal with. Don't waver. Keep your faith. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Can I tell you that your life is not about you? No. God has given you opportunity now to be able to serve Him in reaching others. Consider exhorting others. You want to have joy? Consider exhorting others. You want to have peace in your mind? Consider exhorting others. And so much the more, because there's a greater need for it as you see the day approaching. You need to love others as Christ loved you. We just studied that on the Golden Rule. We just preached on that last Sunday night. How important it is as we understand the love that God has for us and then take that love and love others. We're living in a day and time where the world needs the love of God. And God's love is shown to the world through those who have received the love of God. You're different than that. You're different from a lost man. You're different from a lost woman. Don't let other people's sin control you. Overcome evil with good. And we're living in a day and age where this world needs the love of Christ more than ever before, in the United States of America, especially. Continue to work to serve the Lord. Do the work that is most needed today. That's the work of Christ. And then lastly, which you might have knew it was coming because it's so important, not forsaking. Forsaking is not necessarily being at every service, but when you're forsaking it, you don't want to be at every service. If you want to be at every service, that's what God's looking for. If you want to be in church as often as you can, because you know it's God's plan and God's will and God's way, it's what God's looking for. If you're looking for an excuse, that's forsaking. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do not get out of church. knowing in the last days, something that Satan, it's possibly Satan's primary goal in the last days. Where did COVID come from? I go in a lot of discussion on that, a lot of different philosophies. But can I tell you, you can use, God can use it, or the devil can use it in your life and in my life. God can use it in that there's more needy people today and there's more people living in fear that needs to be brought to the peace of God, that needs to be brought to salvation where they can claim the promises of God. Satan will use it to get a person out of church. Who could have ever seen something like this outside of God? Not forsaking. We can't allow anything. Because if it's something that's going to get you out of church, it's not of God, it's of the devil himself. And there's spiritual warfare taking place all around us today. Satan has a lot to work through. My last question to you is, what will you use in your life to get you out of church? Don't let him do it. Continue to do the things that God has established for Christianity to do, and so much the more in the days we're living in. In the last days, what decision will we make? Who will we allow in our hearts and in our minds? If I could have every head bowed this morning, every eye closed for just a minute. It's a new covenant. It's a new testament designed for the end of times in which we are living in. How are we doing? How are we doing in the end of times? We could still be flourishing doing the work of the Lord. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And as we've studied it and preached it this morning, I pray that you would use it to strengthen our understanding and our beliefs, that will allow us to stay faithful to our faith, to our church, to the work you've called us to accomplish. Work now in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.